As I mentioned a few moments ago, today is going to be a little bit different. For those of you that have always thought, man, I'd sure like to preach someday. Well, today's your chance. Sort of. You all get to help me this morning. You say, well, what are we going to do? Well, you're going to help preach the sermon. You say, well, how are we going to help preach the sermon? I don't have any notes. Don't worry, I will provide you with the notes. They are going to be flashed up on the screen for you to read. And as you're reading them, I want you to project, because I want it to come through on the recording. I want everybody to hear you. Remember, you are helping with this today. Before we get into it, I just want to throw some things out to you, just some food for thought. Have you ever wondered why it is that when we have our services, and it doesn't matter if it's what day, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or really any other day, but when we have our services, the praise team is here, or sometimes we use the recorded music if we don't have the praise team. But have you noticed that sometimes everybody seems to be really into it, the praise and worship? And other times, people are kind of just, well, they're here. But beyond that, there's just not a lot of enthusiasm. You ever wonder why that is? You know, the praise, the worship service is over, and you're there thinking, boy, I tell you what, praise team laid an egg today. Hallelujah. Well, what makes you think it's the praise team? What? Now you better watch what you say, because remember that worship leader. Not the one we had this morning, all right? But I mean, I know her real well. But what makes you think it's the worship team? Well, it's got to be them. I mean, they're the ones who are up there. And they're supposed to be doing this. Yeah, I understand that. You know what a worship leader is and a worship team? You know what they are? They are facilitators. That's all they are. Facilitators. We're the worshipers. Everybody here, everybody watching, we are the worshipers. And, you know, you probably have wondered at times, you know, why wasn't all that great this morning? I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, songs were okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the songs. It's just, I don't know. Today it just didn't seem to. And even there have been times when Kathy's commented, I felt like I was pulling a train uphill while I was going up. Why is that? Why is it like that? Well, let's take it even further. Why has attendance gone down? You wondered? Would you like answers to these questions? Sure you would. Guys, I'm going to show you some stuff today, and you're going to be showing each other as you're helping me in this. We're going to learn some things. And here's what's interesting. Yesterday, I was going through Jeremiah. You know, in this series, the days of Jeremiah are upon us, and I'm going through Jeremiah. Man, things are jumping out at me. It just, you know, oh, wow, look at this, look at this. But then, and I can't exactly explain what happened, but it was like the Holy Spirit began directing my attention a different way toward what we're going to cover this morning. So, I'm working on this, and meditating on it, and listening as the Holy Spirit's kind of leading me. When I say listening as the Holy Spirit's, it's not always I'm hearing a voice. It's many times it's a matter of having what you might call the inner witness on the inside. I mean, I sensed leading in a direction. And yesterday I spent a lot of time listening to sermons, not mine, but sermons, and praying and following along in Scripture and so forth. I think I listened to a total of 5 yesterday. And as I was listening to this sermon, I was listening to a sermon by a pastor who's their church, they're walking the same path we are. And I'm listening to this, and he got partway through the sermon, and all of a sudden, it was like the light went on in that sermon, and I stopped, and I'm listening, and he was saying some of the exact same things that were already rolling around in my mind concerning this message today. And I stop and I'm listening to this, and it's like, holy cow, that is the exact same thing. There's no difference here at all. This is, and I'm listening, and it wasn't word for word, but it was really close to word for word what I was already knowing I was going to be covering. And that was a confirmation to me, because by the title of the sermon I was listening to, there was nothing in that title that indicated to me what I was going to hear in that sermon when I began to hear these things. So it wasn't like, I'm going to find something that goes along with what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me. No, I just picked a sermon, and I'm listening to it, and then in this, I'm hearing, and it's like, wow. And so the Holy Spirit was confirming, yeah, you need to identify this. Because it's the same thing going on in this other church. Same thing. Same exact thing. So, let me go ahead and pull up this first. There we go. Now this one you don't have to read, but as we go through the ones, and I'll let you know we're going to start reading. And when we do this, I'm going to verbally speak the scripture reference for the sake of the recording. And then we will all together read the actual verses, okay? But in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is as true for us today as it was for them back then. Because the amount of freedom we walk in is directly proportionate to the amount of truth we know and apply to our lives. Now this means that if there is truth that we don't know, well, obviously there's an element of freedom in our lives that doesn't exist, but we don't know that because there's truth we don't know. Yet, truth we do know, but don't apply. We've already identified an area of our life, or we've already identified why areas of our life it may have conflict and problems. Because when you know that something's going to help you, like you see something in the Word of God and you know God has said, here, this works, and we don't apply it to our lives in any way, shape, or form, then whatever that truth could do for us, it can no longer do. My car needs gas. If I know that now, okay? But if I don't put gas in my car, I have no business complaining that my car won't go anywhere. It won't start. Well, the battery test's fine. Radio works. But the car won't start. I don't get it. What's wrong? They sold me a junk car. Well, did you put gas in it? Well, no. Well, don't you know you're supposed to put gas in your car? Well, that's stupid. I mean, those days have passed away, all right? Brother, you need gas in your tank. I'd say something about going to Taco Bell, but I'll leave that one alone. Brother, you need gas in the tank of your car. Okay, that's a truth. I know it. If I don't apply it, car goes nowhere. When I see a truth in the Word of God and I don't apply it, then guess what? Whatever freedom in my life that truth could produce, it's not being produced. At least not to the level it could be produced. Now, if there is a higher level of freedom that could be produced in my life, and it's not being produced, what's the opposite of freedom? Bondage. Therefore, the more freedom I walk in, the less bondage I'm in. But the more bondage I'm in, the less freedom I'm walking in. Very simple. So therefore, this means that in order for me to live in the fullness of the freedom that Jesus died to give me, not just free from sin because I'm born again, But the total freedom to live on this planet with the way Jesus lived on this planet, with Him as my example, then I have to, He says here, continue in His Word. Continue. Reading it is one thing, but continuing in it, this introduces the element of action. I can know, but I must continue in what I know. When that happens, there is freedom in my life. Now, at this point, we're going to begin reading these. And again, I'm going to read the actual scripture reference. But together, we're all going to read the verses themselves. And again, you don't have to scream, but I want this to be picked up on the recording. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalm 13, 6. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 18, 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. Psalm 21, 13. Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength, so will we sing and praise Thy power. Psalm 27, 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 30, verses 4 and 12. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalm 33, verses 1, 2, and 3. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Psalm 47, 6 and 7. Sing praises unto God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 57, verses 7 through 9. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. But I will sing of Thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of Thy mercy in the morning. For Thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 61, verse 8. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 5. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Psalm 68, 3 and 4. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. Psalm 71, verses 8, 22, and 23. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. Psalm 75, verse 9. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises unto the God of Jacob. Psalm 81:1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 96, 1 and 2. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Psalm 98, verses 1, 4, and 5. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto Thee, O Lord, will I sing. Psalm 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Psalm 108, verses 1 and 3. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. Psalm 119, verse 171. My lips shall utter praise when Thou hast taught me Thy statutes. Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Psalm 138, verses 1 through 5. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with Thy strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 144, verse 9. I will sing a new song unto Thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto Thee. Psalm 146, 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Psalm 147, verses 1 through 7. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. John 4:23 through 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now what we've just done is read 70 verses that specifically speak of singing and praising God. Those verses were almost 100% from the book of Psalms. There are verses in several other books in the entire Bible that we could have included. But I only wanted to include the ones from Psalms to begin to give you an idea. And then we saw a few here from the New Testament. Paul talking about, I'll sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding also. We know what that means. Singing with the understanding, with what we know and understand. Singing with the Spirit or singing in tongues. Hebrews 13 and 15. Our praise is referred to as a sacrifice, the fruit of our lips. And then Jesus gives us this revelation that the Father is looking for people who are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Here's what we have. 70 verses that speak of us who believe in God singing praise unto Him. And repeatedly, we're seeing things like, I will, I will, I will. We didn't read one thing that said, oh God, when you move upon me in your power, it is then and only then that I will sing unto you. Everything we read was a decision by the individual. I will make this decision. I will open my mouth and I will begin to sing. I will sing. I will praise you. I will worship you. I will do this. This is my choice. And in places it talked about in the congregation, among the people. In other words, I'm going to do this. Now, if they do it or not, that's totally up to them. But I'm going to do this. We also saw references to things that God would do. Things that God has done. Things that are that pertain to God as far as how He blesses us, watches over us, protects us. He is our source for everything. So we have reasons to praise Him. But I want you to take a look at this. Consider these following verses. In Psalm 57:8, it says, awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. Now notice, you know, awake psaltery and harp. All right, well, let's just look at this from this perspective and call the psaltery and the harp, these are musical instruments, okay? How does a musical instrument awake? When I use it. Because until that psaltery and harp, or the trumpet, or the drum, or the guitar, or the, you name it, the instrument, until that instrument is picked up and used, it is dormant. It's not doing anything. The piano here right now, it's there. It's waiting for somebody to come along and use it. Now that piano that we have, it does not control what happens. The person who sits there controls what happens. So if somebody goes over there and they sit down and they want to play some, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, Boogie Woogie, well, that's what the piano is going to produce, right? If they want to sit down and play some Barry Manilow syrupy love song, that's what the... I write the songs. So that's what's going to be produced. If it's some kind of rock song, it does, see, the piano is just there. But if somebody sits down and says, I'm going to make this piano sing to Jesus and plays worship songs, praise songs, that's what's going to be produced by that piano or the trumpet or the guitar or the whatever. I'm the one that has the responsibility to wake up those instruments and make them praise God. That's my job as the musician. I myself will awake early. Now I'm speaking about me. I will get up. Now that doesn't... Some people work third shift job, okay? Getting up early to them is getting up at 3 in the afternoon. So let's not get weird on this and say, well, you got to get up at 5 in the morning or you ain't doing nothing for Jesus. That is not what we're talking about here. It's perspective, okay? But notice the first part of this. Awake up my glory. Awake up my glory. That's not my psaltery, my harp. And that appears to be something different from myself. In fact, one of the verses we read earlier in Psalm 30, verse 12, it says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. To the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee. My glory, not me. We saw a lot about me singing here too, but here this is specifically identifying to the end that my glory may sing praise unto you. And here it says, awake up my glory. Well, I don't know about you, but that would bring up a question to me. What is my glory? What is my glory? Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him, Jesus, by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I've taught on this before, so I'm not going to go very far into it. The glory that it's speaking about here is the born-again life that we receive when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we accept Him, the life of the Father is what raised Jesus up from the dead. Jesus Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. What makes that life glorious? Because it is the Father's life. It is His character. It is His nature. It is everything about who He is. Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Even so. Those two words, even so, are critical in that verse because what that means is just as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been raised up from spiritual death by the same glory. And therefore, we should be living, walking, acting in newness of life. When he talks here in Psalm 57:8, awake up my glory. And in Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. This goes right along with what Jesus said in John chapter 4. That the hour is coming where the Father is looking for people that can worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, not in Holy Ghost, but in spirit, meaning out of the spirit that they have received from Him, that born-again spirit, that glory that is on the inside of Him, on the inside of that believer. Awake my glory. Awake my glory. In other words, I'm now talking to me. Awake me, who I am, life of God in me, born again spirit in me, wake up and praise God. Wake up and praise God. Now, this is interesting because you can't wake something up if that something has not gone to sleep. This is very prophetic, what we're reading here. All these verses we read about the praise, the worship, very prophetic. Awake my glory. Why would I have to wake my glory if my glory was already awake? You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about, I have become lazy in my glory. In my spirit, I have become lazy. And it's time for that to stop. Awake my glory. Awake. Let me give you a couple of New Testament verses that go along with this. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, and you can go back and read the whole fifth chapter of Ephesians later on. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Romans 13:11 and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The sleep he's talking about here, it's not, I mean, in the most literal sense, the Greek words can be used to talk about somebody who's laying in bed sleeping. But those words, and I didn't even write the Greek words down, but they were also words that were used in reference to a slumber or a lethargy, where a person has come to the place where they're just not getting it anymore. And the Apostle Paul is writing and he's saying, hey, wake up! Slap, slap. Awake, glory! You become spiritually lethargic. You've entered into a place of spiritual slumber. And you have to wake up because you don't realize that the time is short. Every second that passes is one more moment we're closer to the return of Jesus. Our salvation, meaning our entry into eternity with Him, if you will, is closer than we've ever thought. And He's saying, it's time to wake up, shake off the shackles of spiritual slumber and lethargy. And prophetically, David says, awake, my glory. Awake within me. Stop being lazy. Awake. And worship God. Praise Him. I will do this. And you remember in another place in Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Why art thou cast down within me? Why are you like this? Have you forgotten who your God is? That's part of the problem. We become comfortable in our Christianity. We become comfortable in our walk with Christ. We become comfortable in all of this, and we slowly but surely begin to drift away. Earlier in this, I was talking about, you know, do you ever wondered why it is that sometimes praise services, you know, it's like, boy, it's going good, man. Woo! Good praise and worship today. Oh, hallelujah. Praise team had it right today. In other words, they had it wrong last week. Yeah, it was pretty bad last week. You ever think that maybe it's not the praise team? Remember what I was saying earlier? Have you ever considered the fact that maybe we need to awake our glory? We get so used to showing up and just being here that we forget why we're here. Now, I'm going to be explaining this in even more detail and helping you understand what's going on. Look in Ezekiel 33. I didn't put everything on the PowerPoint presentation this morning. I mean, you are going to have to do a little work this morning. Ezekiel 33. And I'm going to show you some things, just this verse and then another verse in the New Testament, to try and help you understand this a little bit better. In Ezekiel 33, just one verse, verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Now, let's not think of covetousness as, I want everything I see. Let's think of covetousness as self first, as me. Now, I'm going to show up at church. I sure hope the praise and worship is good today because, you know, I just been having it rough all this week. Well, the praise and worship is going to be as good as you want it to be. Yeah, but I sure hope it, you know, I sure hope she don't hit no, you know, flat notes on that piano. Well, I sure hope he don't hit no bad notes on that guitar. And I hope, you know, she doesn't drop her bass in the middle of a song. And I hope the drumsticks don't break. And you know, what you're telling me is you need somebody to motivate your emotions. You didn't come in here to praise. Your glory is asleep. It's slumbering. It's in lethargy. And the praise, the mouth, it's like he said right here in this verse 31, their mouth shows much love. Man, we can all sing the songs. That's easy. But what's coming out of your glory? What's coming out of your spirit? See, the Father is looking for people who will do this. And we are living in that hour, if you will, of people who can do that, because we're born again and we have the ability to worship Him out of a brand new born again spirit. The Jews could never do that. They were worshiping Him out of a lost condition. They were doing the best they could. Well, a lot of them. David, he did a pretty good job. They did the best they could. And when Jesus was talking to that Samaritan lady, it's like He was saying, ma'am, let me tell you something. You know, you guys do your worshiping, the Jews do their worshiping, but neither one of you got it right. God's looking for something that goes beyond what any of you can give. He's looking for something that goes beyond even what the Jews can give Him. And they gave Him a lot. In fact, if you remember, they gave Him so much one time, His glory filled the temple, the priests couldn't even stand to perform their works. But God is looking for more than that. He's looking for people that are going to be able to worship Him out of a spirit that has been made new. He's looking for people that are going to be able to worship Him out of a glory that resides on the inside of them, because when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, He is going to release the glory of a new life on the inside of them, and now they're going to be able to worship Him the way He desires. And those are the people He's looking for. So here we have that glory of the life of God on the inside of us. We're born again. And when we come in here, it's out of that glory we're supposed to be worshiping Him. But He says, it's really possible for you to come in here and sing all the songs, and yet your glory be sleeping the whole time. Look at another place over in Matthew. You know, where He says in Ezekiel 33:31, you know, they sit before Thee as My people, they hear Thy words, but they will not do them. All of these verses we looked at in Psalms, and the numerous other verses that we didn't read, but just the ones that we read them, but are we doing them? Are we really doing them? When David was writing about singing, he wasn't writing about going through the motions. He wasn't talking about just singing the songs because, you know, they're up there on the screen and because you know them and because, oh boy, this is my favorite. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs. I will really sing this one. And then the next one, it's like, man, that song's 35 years old. Can't we get something new? Well, you know that song, I Exalt Thee? How much newer do you want? That thing might be 40 years old. How much newer do you want than that wonderful, beautiful, precious worship song of love to God? I hope all the people say, I'm tired of them old songs, tired of them old songs. I hope we sing them old songs for about 5 million years in heaven. Till you learn to like them. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto Me with their mouth and honoreth Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. Relative to Christians today, we come in, we do that, we sing. Our heart isn't there. The mouth, the lips, they got it right. But the heart, listen, I'm going to be throwing some questions out from time to time, and this is really a good opportunity to not respond. How many times have you been here during the praise and worship, and you've been thinking, I wish this would hurry up and get over, so we could get to the sermon and get done? Maybe not those exact words, but something similar. You've done it.
How do you know I've done it?
Because the same thoughts have gone through my head from time to time.
Oh, but you're the pastor. You shouldn't have.
I know I shouldn't. We'll talk about why in a little bit here, all right? Don't get up and run. Just that's because, now, they hit me, but I cast them down. Because they are imaginations that are trying to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Our hearts have to be in sync with our mouth. What's going on here? We ain't having that. Our hearts have to be in sync with our mouth and our lips. Because that's what God is looking for. Now somebody may think, oh boy, you know, just another one of those sermons trying to, you know, make us feel bad because we ain't singing. No, hold on here. No, we're headed towards something in this. Let's talk about the pre-service worship. A lot of people that need to be hearing this, they're not here right now for various reasons. Okay, some legit, some, I don't know. Let's talk about the pre-service worship. There's some of you that at one time, you looked forward to the pre-service worship because of what it represented, because of what you were going to experience, because it was an opportunity for worship. Over time, that's begun to not be there. That vibrancy is no longer there. In fact, there are times when I'm back in my office, pre-service worship starts, and there are some times where the Holy Spirit continues to minister to me on into pre-service worship. Now, my preference is to be in here for all of it, but when He's ministering to me, I stay there with Him, then I come out. But I will be back there in my office, door closed. Door closed. The pre-service worship is playing, and I hear people out here talking, laughing, and fellowshipping in a way that I never heard way back. And I'm not saying, now this doesn't apply to everybody I know, but to those to whom it applies, you know. And there have been times where it's been so loud, I've actually opened the door and I've looked out, hoping somebody would notice I'm looking and realize why I'm looking. Why is that? It's because our glory is no longer awake and looking for the pre-service worship, and what happens? There's a slumber that's begun to settle in. You know, the pre-service, we don't have Sunday school. The pre-service worship is like our Sunday school. And it's an opportunity to come in and worship God. It's an opportunity to come in and be a part of something He's doing. And the reason I know He's doing it is because He said He inhabits our praises. So I know that if we set aside a time and we say, this is a time for praise and worship, where we come together, sing to God, then I know He's saying, all right, I will honor that. You do that, you do your part, I'm there. I will be there. But what's happened is a lot of folks have, they're not here for the pre-service worship the way they used to be. It no longer is as important. You begin losing your focus. And if somebody could say, well, yeah, but you know, it's like we sing the same pre-service worship sets over and over and over. I'm tired of those same. You know what? We have 49 different pre-service worship sets. We only do 3 per week. So let's do the math. Okay, 49 divided by 3, carry the 120. Do you realize that it's going to be a minimum of 2 months and a maximum of around 4 months before you hear the same one again? 2 to 4 months before you hear the same one again. Well, one we did this morning, I know for a fact we did that just 3 weeks ago. Hey, I chart everything. I can tell you the dates when we did all these. You may remember it, but we sure didn't do it 3 weeks ago. We sure didn't do it 4 weeks ago. But here's the thing. So what if we did? It's worship. It's an opportunity. So what? See, what you're saying is my soul has become more powerful than my glory. And my soul is now governing my response to praise and worship. My glory is slumbering. And it's just, I'm glad I'm born again, but my glory is no longer dictating my response. God's life, His nature, that born-again spirit in me is no longer doing that. And during the praise and worship itself, I mean, there are times, if you've ever noticed, which some of you probably have, when I'm up here for praise and worship, I don't turn around and look to see who's doing what. There's a reason for that. Number one, it ain't about you. And my focus is on Him. And number two, I don't want to face the possibility of getting discouraged because you're no longer into it the way you used to be.
Brother Martin, will you stop stomping on my toes?
Oh, wait a minute. You're getting ahead of me here. There's no toe stomping going on, and you're going to see this by the time this message is over. Remember the question earlier. Why does it seem like, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not, and the attendance thing? All right, we're headed to some answers here. So hang with me. There were times when some of you, man, to praise and worship, you'd be standing, and you were into it. And now, some of you, you can't make it through the first song, and boom, down you go. And you're sitting there, you know, kicking back, singing. And you believe, you've convinced yourself you're doing the right thing. Now, is there a rule that says you have to stand when you sing praise and worship? No, there isn't. But you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. The slumber in your glory is impacting your reaction to the worship. And you've begun to forget what happens when we do this praise and worship. You've forgotten the benefits. You know, I've got two teaching series. One is entitled Breaking Through with Worship, and the other is Unleashing the Power of Worship. I think a lot of you need to go back and listen to those again, because those series are going to help you understand more than what I could even begin to cover today, the necessity of praise and worship. If you remember, there was a message I had, it wasn't a part of the series, but it was a message back, I don't remember how long ago. But in this message, I shared with you how that God is the one who gave us the ability to, quote, make music. See, He didn't have to put in us a sense of rhythm. He didn't have to put in us the ability to sing, to speak, yes, but not to sing. He did not have to put that in us when He created humans. Man, Adam and Eve, it started there. And that part of the human makeup is passed down generation to generation. He didn't have to put in us the ability to harmonize. He didn't have to do that, but He did it for a reason. Well, in that series, I explain about the praise and worship and why that's so important. And if you remember, one of the examples I gave had to do with, like, with little children. You start playing music, and they can't even walk, but they'll hold on to the edge of the table, and they will move to the beat of the music. They'll just go, stop the music, and they'll stand there. Start the music again, and there they go. And they'll boogie. And some of these little kids, when they can learn to walk without holding on, they will start dancing to the music. They don't care who's in the room. They will just do what did Jesus say about except you become as little children? I'm not saying that you all have to grab the front of the pew and start, you know, popping up and down. All right? Bear with me here. And I'm not saying that you have to come up and do the holy hokey pokey either. You guys understand what I'm talking about. There's a slumber that has settled in. And it has impacted every single person who considers this to be their home church. There are no exceptions. I've been impacted by it, and I've had to fight it. I shared just a few moments ago about all that. Here's what this comes down to. This is an attack by Satan. That's what this is. Now let me kind of throw this out. In that respect, it's not your fault. But how you respond to the attack is. He's going to attack, okay? Very simple. He's going to attack. But how we respond to the attack is our fault. That's our responsibility. We have to deal with that. The whole thing of the praise and worship. If anything, there's not an if anything. There is a thing that is an absolute surety that I know. And that is, our praise team has gotten better over the years. The instrumentalists have gotten better. Just the whole aspect of our praise and worship, as far as the praise team is concerned, it's gotten better. So if anything, you would think we would be enthused and encouraged about that, because it's better than it's ever been. But the crazy thing is, we've gone just the opposite. Now, I'm not saying this applies to every single person, but every single person has been impacted by this. Now, let me show you something about the praise and worship. Turn over to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. This is an attack, and it's something that we as individuals have to address for ourselves. It's not going to change if we don't address it for ourselves. Meaning, I'm responsible for me and you're responsible for you. In Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now, Jesus quoted from this in Matthew chapter 21, and where it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Well, Jesus used the word praise. Now, I'm not going to teach at length on this, but very briefly, what Jesus is revealing to us is that there is strength, spiritual strength, in praise and worship. Now, we're not talking about the going through the motions, make your mouth move, make sound come out. We're talking about awake my glory and sing praise unto God. I'll worship in spirit and in truth. There is spiritual strength in that. Now, here's part of what that spiritual strength does. Still the enemy and the avenger. Notice he says God has ordained this strength, this praise, because of our enemies. Who's our enemy? Well, just think about Satan and the entire demonic kingdom, the powers, principalities, and all that kind of stuff. They are our enemies. And he says that God has, out of the absolute purity of who God is, he has laid his hand of anointing upon praise and worship, and he has called it ordained as spiritual strength to wage warfare against the enemy. Now, let me explain as part of the reason why this works so well. When you go and you study the history of Lucifer / Satan, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And the Bible talks about how that, you know, he was able to produce all these sounds of praise and worship. Well, he fell. And so now the very thing that was a positive to him is now a negative to him. It is a source of irritation to him. God says right here, this worship, this spiritual strength that is specifically associated with praise and worship, it has an impact on the enemy's kingdom. And it says, to still the enemy and the avenger. To still him. In other words, to stop his mouth, to shut him up, to stop him in his tracks, to do warfare against him. Now look in Psalm 149. And you'll see this in a little bit more detail. Psalm 149. And in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Now, again, I'm not going to go into great detail about this, but in those two teaching series about praise and worship that I mentioned, I break this down, and I explain to you how this is a description of spiritual warfare. And he's saying, listen, if you'll open your mouth, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. Let them come forth. The sacrifices of praise, the fruit of your lips. You begin to worship Him and praise Him, and you're going to begin to bind the kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron to execute judgment upon them. In other words, here's the attack. It doesn't matter what the attack is. On my body, for a physical sickness or affliction, my finances, my family, my job, it doesn't matter. Whatever the attack is, whether it's a principality of power or any of those things listed over there in Ephesians, it does not matter. God says, I am giving to you, my children, a weapon that you can use. I have ordained it as strength. And notice what He says here, this honor have all His saints. God says, I am honoring you with the ability to deal with these problems yourself. In other words, I'm giving unto you a part of me, release it through praise and worship. And you are doing warfare against the enemy. The very thing that was one of the most important aspects of His existence before His fell, it is now a source of irritation, pain. It binds Him. Think about this. When you begin to praise and worship God, I mean, you're focusing on what you're doing. You're not just going through the motions. With my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with a voice of thanksgiving, I will bless Thee, O Lord. Whatever the shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. I mean, whatever we are singing, whether we're singing about Him, testifying about Him, to Him, whatever it is, when we're doing it, it comes out of our heart. I mean what I'm singing. I mean it. I make a decision that, Jesus, I mean this. Holy Spirit, help me to mean this from my heart. When we're doing that, according to the Word of God, somehow we are binding the hands of the enemy. We're stopping him from additional progress in our lives. Knowing this, think of it like this. Here's Satan. We're all people getting born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we start praising and worshiping God. And the very thing that he was trying to do in your life, all of a sudden, he's bound and he can't. And he's trying to figure this out. How come I can't do this anymore? And the next person, same thing. The next person, the same thing. And he begins to realize, okay, when they're praising me and worshiping me out of that glory that is in them, it's hindering my effectiveness. So, what do I need to do? I know whatever it takes to get them redirected away from the praise and worship. If they want to sing, that's okay. Minor injury. That's like taking a few, you know, rubber pellets or BBs in the arm or something like that. What I don't want is this being bound. So yeah, they'll show up, they'll sing. But as long as I can get them distracted. Well, how does he know when you're getting distracted? Oh, trust me. If you know when you're distracted, he's going to pick up on it. When is the praise and worship starts, and there you are. With my hands lifted up. Whee! When the praise and worship starts and you're neutral, when your glory is asleep, he's neutralized you. You have become a victim. A victim of his attack that didn't start on the way to church, and it didn't start when the moment you walked in. It's been going on. It's been going on and on and on and on to get you to this point. And the next step, see, listen, once this begins to happen, the next step, the next phase of this, your attendance begins to slow down. You begin backing off. Look around. I'm not casting stones at anybody. I'm telling you how this works. See, you know one of the best ways to wage warfare is to learn to think like your enemy. Because when you learn to think like your enemy, you know and can anticipate what your enemy is going to do. Now, if I were the devil, what would I want to do? I would want to stop you from releasing out of your glory the thing that is going to bind me and keep me away from your kids, from your body, from your mind, from everything that's going on in your life. I would want to stop that, because once I stop that, I've interrupted the fellowship and the relationship between you and your Father, and then I'm going to be able to start casting imaginations in your direction that will lead you to make decisions. I don't need to be there today. I don't feel like it because my earlobe is itching. It's a process of neutralization. This is not, remember earlier I said this is not about stomping on toes. These are the answers why. It is an attack of the enemy. Now look at this. Psalm 61:8. Don't know if you picked up on this earlier when we read it. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Why? That I may daily perform my vows. Do you realize what this is telling us? The revelation God is giving us in this? He's saying your praise and worship directly impacts your ability to live for me every day. How many of us have said, boy, I'll tell you what, starting tomorrow, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour. I promise, God. God says, I'm not holding you to that, but you better not be making rash promises. Remember what I said? It's better not to promise than to promise and then break. Have you ever wondered why it is all these things in your life just don't seem to be working? Why it is, it's like one thing after another. Some of you got more things than others. We all have things, just some people have more things going on than other people. He says right here, I will sing praise unto your name forever. I will do this forever. Awake, O my glory, because you are going to praise Him forever. And one of the results of this is that I'm going to be able to daily perform my vows. Or in other words, I will be able to more effectively live as Christ on this earth. I just don't understand why it is I keep having all of this and all. I just don't understand how come it is. Well, let's do a praise check. How are things going? Think of it like this. If the only time in your week, in my week, in our week, if the only time in our week that we do any praise and worship is on Wednesdays and Sundays, this verse right here that we're looking at ought to emphasize to us how critical it is for us to be here Sunday, morning, night, Wednesday. Now, I understand logistics play a role in this, no stones being cast. But this verse right here ought to convince us, I need this, because I ain't doing it the rest of the week. You know, my life is caught up with so much other stuff. All right, we can talk about that in another sermon. Right now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's it as far as my praise and worship is concerned. Well, you know what? You better be here. For the very sake of everything that I've been covering this morning, you need to be here. And for those of you who might think, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, how can you say that? We've had 70 verses this morning that we've read that specifically identify, I will, I will, I will. Who cares if we sang the same song last week? Seriously, who cares? If it is coming out of our glory, then I could, listen, when it's coming out of our glory, and it's no longer just, okay, what's on the hit list for this week? When it's no longer that, when it's about, I'm going to do this. Okay, yeah, we've sung that same song 3 weeks in a row. I don't care. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. Oh, God, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. When it's coming out of our glory, it doesn't matter. Listen, there is no boredom in song repetition when our glory is singing. That's a lesson a bunch of people ought to learn. There's no boredom in it. Okay, parents, you know, sometimes I think I need to turn my back when I say certain things so nobody thinks I'm talking about them. But you got to remember, there are people watching this all over the world. Have you ever considered that your children depend upon your praise and worship more than you knew, more than you know? Have you considered that maybe a lot of the problems you're having with your children is because you're just not worshiping God enough? Doesn't it say the praise and worship steal the avenger, bind the kings? Doesn't it say that? Train up a child the way he should go. Are you setting the right kind of praise and worship example for your children? Now again, man, don't anybody get under condemnation. This is an exposing an attack of the devil sermon. This is a not get out when you go home feel bad today sermon. No. This is an exposing of the attack. This is to try to help us understand what's been going on, and it's been building. It's been building. Listen, there are times when I'm up here and I'm like, you know, I don't turn around and look. There are times when I'm up here praising, worshiping, and it literally feels like a blanket has been draped over everybody behind me. I mean, seriously, it feels like something has been draped over everybody. Now, not that everybody is impacted by it the same way. And the times when we begin to move into the free worship, there are times, let me say it like this, and again, don't get offended. Some of you want it to be over, so you can't wait until it's over. You're not doing it, you don't want to do it, you don't feel like doing it. You just want it to be over. What, you know, all these things that we read about had nothing to do with feelings. I will. Yeah, well, what if you don't feel like it? I will. But what if you do feel like it? I will. What if you don't want to? I will. I will. It's not a matter of what I feel. It's not a matter of, oh, the kids, man, they just wouldn't get ready this morning. It made me so mad. They just wouldn't. I told them to get in the car. They wouldn't get in the car. I told them to, you know, feed the dog. They wouldn't feed the dog. I told them to do this. And I'm going, oh, that wife of mine, that husband of mine. That, oh, this is. And so it's like you let that put the blanket over your glory. Guys, it's an attack of the enemy. I can tell you this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I know this to be true. If we as a congregation, every single one of us, again, we're all responsible for ourselves, okay? I have to do my part and you do yours. But if we do our part, each one of us, and we say, awake, glory, I'm not having this anymore. There's no more slumber. There's no more lethargy. There's no more sleep. Awake, glory, in me, awake, life of the Savior in me, born again life, awake. Mind, you come into subjection to the life of the Father in me. You do not govern me. I govern me by the life of God in me. That, I will walk in the Spirit in my praise and worship. And hey, we all have some songs we like better than others. Doesn't matter. This is the song we're doing right now. I'm going to use it to my benefit. And I'm going to release my praise and worship. I'm joining my heart to this song. I'm using this song, channeling it, funneling it, you know, releasing it through my heart for my benefit and to stand in victory. When that begins to happen, things that Satan has done to keep people away from this church will be torn down. And this is one of the prime reasons attendance has gone down and a lot of people have not come in. This is one. It's not the only now. It's one reason. In warfare, they have different fronts. Okay? In this, there is a praise and worship front. That's the one we're talking about today. Now, the only people that can change this is we. And more specifically, individuals. I can't make you do anything. But what I've done today is exposed to you an attack of the enemy that has been so very slow in developing. It's taken time, weeks, months, years for it to get to this point. Well, now We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And the ignorance of this one has been exposed, dealt with, addressed. So here we are. Now it's up to us to do our part. And this challenge goes to me and to all of you, no matter what your age. Think hard about this, because it's a weapon that Satan's been using to attack you with. And then, here's what I suggest. Make a decision. It ends. It ends. Now, see what we could do? We have the praise team come up. Everybody, you know, we can start doing songs, and everybody's going to be, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you would. Then you're going to go, and you're going to eat your lunch, maybe go take a nap, whatever. Okay, but what about tonight? What about Wednesday night? What about next Sunday? Don't be weary in well-doing. See, this is it's easy to get motivated by a sermon to do something a moment. But this has to go beyond that. And so the challenge is, what are we going to do from this point forward? And please, 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 those of you watching, those of you here, again, do not think this is a chastising sermon. It's not. It is, hey, here's what's been going on, guys. And Satan has been very sneaky about it. I mean, he didn't just walk in with a big sign and say, yo, guess what I'm going to do? No. Very, very subtle. Very subtle. You know what? Awake, my glory. Awake, my glory. And praise Him, glory. Worship Him. And I'm not going to allow thoughts of, boy, I wish this was done. I'm not. No, you thoughts, if you try, I will cast you down in the name of Jesus. In the middle of praise and worship, if you catch yourself thinking things like that, just stop. Say, in the name of Jesus, you imaginations, I cast you down. I'm worshiping. And you get right back into your praise and worship. This is a fight. I say we win. Because the victory's already been bought and given to us. Let's use this weapon that God has given us. We've identified the problem. Now let's fix it. And we're going to go deeper into God than we've ever been before. So you guys, listen, be encouraged by this. We have exposed an attack of the enemy this day. And we've also seen encouragement from God's Word. Do it. Do this. Let it rip. Sing. Release it out of your spirit. Because I inhabit those praises. Glory to God.